And Kevin Peterson's reintegration into the England cricket team looks to be complete. He's been given a new full central contract. That's the latest. I'm Jenny Lyne.
This is Phoenix FM.
Movie. Flight controllers, listen up. Give me a go, no go for launch. Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
Go flight.
Guidance
go.
Surgeon.
Go flight.
Ecom.
We're go flight.
GNC.
We're go.
Tell me.
Go.
Control.
Go flight.
Procedures.
Go.
Inco.
Go.
FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go flight.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
Good evening and welcome to the Stage and Screen Show. Tonight, it's all about one musical masterpiece, Les Miserables.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
begun. You know what that means?
Yes, it means I'm free.
No, this means you get your yellow ticket of leave. You are a thief.
I stole a loaf of bread.
You robbed a house.
I broke a window pane. My sister's child was close to death, and we were starving.
You will starve again, unless you learn the meaning of the law.
I know the meaning of those 19 years a slave of the law.
5 years for what you did, the rest because you tried to run. Yes, 24601.
My name is Jean Valjean.
And I'm Javert. Do not forget my name. Do not forget me. 24601.
Look down, you'll always be a slave. Look down, you're standing in your grave. Up, 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 up.
Fittingly opening the show this week, that was the opening number of Les Miserables from the 1995 Royal Albert Hall concert performance, staged to mark the 10th anniversary of the musical. And I'm going to be joined by one of the soloists who you heard just there in the studio a little bit later on, Phil Cavill, West End leading man and former Jean Valjean, is my special guest this evening. I'll be asking Phil about his experiences working on the show and what it was like to play one of the greatest roles in modern musical theatre. Now, I think it's fair to say that Cameron Mackintosh's legendary production of Bublil and Schoenberg's Les Miserables is a global stage sensation. Seen by more than 60 million people in 42 countries and in 21 languages around the world, it's still breaking box office records everywhere in its 28th year. Set against the backdrop of 19th century France, Les Miserables tells an enthralling story of broken dreams and unrequited love, passion, sacrifice and redemption. A timeless testament to the survival of the human spirit, and the music isn't bad either. With the eagerly anticipated release of the movie version of Les Mis hitting cinema screens across the country this Friday, tonight I'm going to be tracing the development of the musical all the way to the big screen, and starting right back at the beginning with the original French concept album. With music by Claude-Michel Schoenberg and lyrics by Alain Bublil, that was La Journée est finie from the original 1980 French concept album of Les Miserables, adapted from the classic novel of the same name, written by French poet and playwright Victor Hugo, which was first published in 1862. Apparently, Alan Bublil had the inspired idea of adapting Hugo's novel into the musical whilst watching a performance of Lionel Bart's Oliver. Now, the first musical stage adaptation of Les Miserables was presented at the Palais des Sports, a sports arena in Paris, in 1980, where it was forced to close after a hugely successful run of 3 months as the arena had been pre-booked by the Moscow State Circus. Then in 1983, 6 months after British theatre producer Cameron McIntosh had opened Cats on Broadway, he was approached about producing a reworked English language version of Les Mis. McIntosh assembled a crack team of creatives, including English lyricist Herbert Kretzmer, the directors Trevor Nunn and John Caird, and after 2 further years of intensive development in collaboration with the Royal Shakespeare Company, Les Miserables opened at the Barbican Centre on October the 8th, 1985.
You hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men. It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes. Will you join in a crusade? Who will be strong and stand with me? Beyond the barricade, is there a world you long to see? Then join in the fight that will give you the right to be free. Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men? This is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
Will you give all you can give so that a banner may advance? Some will fall and some will live. Will you stand up and take your chance? The blood of the martyrs will water the meadows of France.
Rousing, do you hear the people sing from the original London cast recording of Les Mis? Well, the critics did hear the people sing, but it's a well-known fact that back in 1985, they mostly didn't like what they heard. The reviews were overwhelmingly negative, with one critic famously branding the show the Glums. But theatre-goers seemed to disagree in their thousands, and the show went on to break all pre-existing box office records. Within a matter of weeks, it was clear that Cameron McIntosh had a major hit on his hands. The original London production featured Roger Allam as Inspector Javert, Michael Ball as Marius, Frances Raffel as Eponine, and Patti LuPone as Fantine, a performance for which she won the Olivier Award for Best Actress in a Musical. The cast was led by Irish-Canadian tenor Cole Morkinson, who originated the role of Jean Valjean.
He thinks that man is me. He knew him at a glance. That stranger he has found, this man could be my chance. Why should I save his hide? Why should I right this wrong? When I have come so far and struggled for so long. If I speak, I am condemned. If I stay silent, I am damned. I am the master of hundreds of workers, they all look to me. Can I abandon them? How would they live if I am not free? If I speak, I am condemned. If I stay silent, I am damned.
I? Can I condemn this man to slavery? Pretend I do not see his agony. This innocent who bears my face, who goes to judgment in my place, who am I? Can I conceal myself forevermore? Pretend I'm not the man I was before. And must my name until I die be no more than an alibi? Must I lie? How can I ever face my fellow men? How can I ever face myself again? My soul belongs to God, I know. I made that bargain long ago. He gave me hope when hope was gone. He gave me strength to journey on. Who am I? Who am I? I'm Jean Valjean. And so Javert, you see it's true. That man bears no more guilt than you. Who am I? 2, 4, 6. Oh,
from the original London cast recording, that was Colm Wilkinson as Jean Valjean with Who Am I? The original production ran at the Barbican Centre until December the 4th, 1985, when it transferred into the West End and opened at the Palace Theatre, where it remained until 2004 before moving to its current home, the Queen's Theatre.
Phoenix FM.
And at this point, we're going to take a short break for this week's stage and screen news. In the world of theatre, Ambassador Theatre Group's joint chief executives Howard Panter and Rosemary Squire have topped the Stage 100 for the fourth year in a row. However, this year for the first time, they're joined in equal first place by Nicholas Heitner and Nick Starr, Artistic Director and Executive Director of the National Theatre. This marks the first time in the list's 17-year history that figures from the subsidised or non-commercial sector have topped the Stage 100. Meanwhile, for ATG's Panter and Squire, it sees them closing in on the record number of number one placings, 6, held by Andrew Lloyd Webber. Elsewhere, the Stage 100 recognises the success of the performing arts at the London 2012 Olympics, with Ruth McKenzie, director of the Cultural Olympiad, and Danny Boyle, director of the opening ceremony, placed 3rd. They are followed in 4th place by Cameron McIntosh and Nick Allott, and Michael Boyd and Vicky Haywood, the departing Artistic Director and Executive Director of the Royal Shakespeare Company, are placed 5th. The RSC's production of Matilda the Musical won 7 awards, the most ever, at the Olivier Awards in 2012, and will open on Broadway this year. New productions opening in London this week include The Silence of the Sea by Anthony Way, which opens at the Trafalgar Studios on Monday the 14th. And then from Tuesday the 15th, you can see American Justice, directed by Lisa Forrell, at the Arts Theatre. And here's this week's screen news update from our movie journalist, Vicky Bufton. The BAFTA nominations were announced early this morning by Alice Eve and Jeremy Irvin. Steven Spielberg's Lincoln sets the pace with 10 nominations, while Life of Pi and Les Miserables have 9 each. The nominees for Best Film are Argo, Les Mis, Life of Pi, Lincoln and Zero Dark Thirty, while the 5 pictures fighting out for Best British Film are Skyfall, Les Mis, Anna Karenina, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel and 7 Psychopaths. The winners will be announced in a glittering ceremony to be held at London's Royal Opera House on February the 10th, and rest assured that we'll report fully that week. Hold on to your popcorn, because the biggest city-destroying beastie in cinematic history approaches. The new Godzilla film is on the horizon and should be arriving in 2014. Shawshank Redemption scribe Frank Darabont has been brought in to tinker with the script, and there are some ups and downs with the producers, but hopefully it'll be an improvement on the monster's last dreary outing in the 90s. And if you're sitting down to watch the Oscars on February the 24th this year, you will be treated to a James Bond tribute, and fingers crossed for a Seth MacFarlane song and dance number. The host will be breaking with tradition and announcing the Oscar nominees, tomorrow with The Amazing Spider-Man's Emma Stone. Usually the host waits until the big night, but MacFarlane is taking a very hands-on approach this year. We'll have all the nominations news next week. And at the cinema this week, Les Miserables, as if you needed any further reminding, the much-loved musical hit cinemas this week, with Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe going head-to-head against the backdrop of the French Revolution. Also, Gangster Squad, delayed after the Aurora cinema shooting, Ryan Gosling and co. are allowed out of their box to take on Sean Penn's Mickey Cohen in 40s LA. And What Richard Did, the story of an Irish teen whose bright future is threatened by a night out that takes a violent turn. And the UK cinema box office chart this week. Tom Cruise takes a tumble to number 5 as the indestructible Jack Reacher. Maggie Smith's Quartet makes a fitting debut at 4 as our first new entry on this week's chart. Ang Lee's Life of Pi sinks from 2 to 3, while Ewan McGregor and Naomi Watts come in at 2 with new entry The Impossible. Which means Bilbo Baggins and the Dwarves are still sitting atop the chart with The Hobbit and Unexpected Journey.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
You're listening to The Stage and Screen Show, and now back to the story of the development of the musical Les Miserables. In March 1987, a slightly slicker Les Mis opened on Broadway, with Colm Wilkinson and Francis Raphael reprising their roles from the West End. The $4.5 million production had taken more than $4 million in advance sales before it even opened, and was an immediate success. The Broadway show was nominated for 12 Tony Awards and won 8, including Best Musical, Best Original Score, and Best Performance by a Featured Actress in a Musical for Frances Raphael.
Only in my mind, and I'm
to him. And although I know that he is blind, still I say there's a way for us. I love him, but when the night is over, he is gone. The river's just a river. Without him, the world around me changes. The trees are barren everywhere, the streets are full of strangers. I love him.
From the original London cast recording, that was Francis Raphael as Eponine with On My Own. The success of and demand for Les Miserables was mirrored all around the world, and there have consequently been productions staged in more than 40 countries. There have been numerous soundtrack recordings of the show, including the complete symphonic recording released in 1989, which featured a specially assembled international cast, including the USA's Gary Morris as Valjean and Australia's Philip Quast as Javert. Meanwhile, the original London production has continued to captivate audiences for almost 28 years, making it the longest-running musical of all time and the second-longest-running West End show after The Mousetrap. And in all those years, the show has seen numerous cast changes, and I'm delighted to be joined by a former Jean Valjean this evening, Phil Cavill. Phil, welcome to the show.
Evening, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are things?
Very well, thank you. I was just getting very comfortable watching your TV.
Yeah, and interestingly, there's the
Les Miserables. Yeah.
It's everywhere. You can't escape it at the moment.
You can't.
Thank you for coming in. And we're hopefully going to talk tonight a bit about your experiences of working on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you could start by telling us when it was that you played Valjean.
Oh, crikey. Well, I played Valjean quite a few times. I played my first stint, as they call it, was 93 and went through to 96. And then again in 97, then again in 2000. And then my last stint was 2006.
Wow. So pretty relentless.
Pretty relentless, yeah. They tend to kind of like, if they got you, they got their claws in you, they tend to kind of grab you back from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely. And how did you actually land the role in the first place? What happened there?
Well, I was in a lesser-known show called Miss Saigon. I'm sure you might have heard of that one.
Absolutely.
And that was my first West End professional debut in Saigon. And I was understudying the role of the engineer. I'm sure you know the engineer, or people out there will know the engineer. And luckily enough, Mr. McIntosh himself was in one of the nights I was on for the lead.
Wow.
And he saw me and said, we need to see this guy for Valjean. And I was so naive in those days, I didn't even know who Valjean was. And I said, he wants to see you for Valjean. I went, well, okay, fine.
<Who's that>?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who the hell is he?
And so you then obviously went along and auditioned. And...
Yeah, it's a very long, drawn-out process. There was 13 auditions, and then Cameron being the busy man that he is, they used to get all the people that they were going to Cameron or to put in front of Cameron, and 9 times out of 10, bless me, wouldn't turn up because he's too busy doing something, and you go home, and then the following week you'd be called back in, and then maybe you wouldn't turn up again, so you go home, then you come back again. When you finally got in front of him, then I got the phone call that afternoon.
Wow. And the rest, as they say, was history.
The rest is history, yeah.
And so, I mean, a huge part to play.
Yeah, huge.
Massive. And to do 8 shows a week as well.
It is.
How do you prepare for something like that?
Well, it's quite strange, actually, because when I was given the role, I thought, right, I've got to look after myself, keep myself out of smoky atmospheres, don't go out late, eat the right food. You know?
Sure, yeah.
And for some reason, I couldn't sing a note. I was looking after myself too well, so I just went back to what I did. You know, I don't mind having a couple of pints after a show. You know, a good old chin wag. Get yourself to bed. Next day, cup of coffee, bit of toast. I'm good to go.
Fantastic. And in terms of kind of the actual, I suppose, prep for each particular performance as well, did you have to get to the theatre quite a bit earlier and start to psych yourself up for it?
Well, I used to do that as a matter of course anyway. I always used to get to the theatre around about 4 or 5 o'clock. And it's just nice to relax, get your makeup done, get the wigs on, have a cup of coffee, read the paper, bell goes, and off we go.
Fantastic. Now, it's a very emotional show for people to go and see, and I'm sure you know you're only too aware of audience reactions.
Sure.
How is it to perform that part, and do you become very sort of emotionally involved with it?
You do at first, and then you get that little lull period in the middle, because you've got to appreciate I did it for 3 years straight. So to me, you kind of, as an actor, a singer, you kind of switch on and off. As soon as you're ready to go on, you're in the character, you're on stage, and you're doing your bit.
Sure.
The only time that I really got emotionally involved was my last performance, because you knew you're lucky enough, but you can take it for granted, because you're in this incredible musical, and you don't realise sometimes how much it gives to the audience. So you're sitting there and you think it's your last performance, and that's when you really sit down and you really take in the music and you really think, this could be the last time I'm ever going to sing this.
Sure,
and there was going to be I knew there's going to be a couple of dodgy little periods, which was going to be bring him home, and it was going to be the death.
Yeah.
Because you get so emotionally involved with those two, especially bring him home and the death scene at the end. And I thought, I said to everybody, I don't want anybody coming up saying, good luck, Phil, it's the last one. Because I said, just stay clear of me, because I know it's going to be blub zone.
Sure. And I mean, as you say, for fans of the show, for anybody who's seen it, I'm sure they'll remember bring him home and what an emotional and a powerful scene that is.
Oh, incredible, yeah.
And we've actually got the recording here of you performing it, so let's have a listen to that.
Great.
God on high, hear my prayer in my need. You have always been there. He is young. If I die,
Superb. That was Phil Cavile performing Bring Him Home from Les Miserables. And you're listening to the Stage and Screen Show, Les Mis Special, in advance of the release of the movie this coming Friday. And I'm joined here in the studio by Phil himself. We've been talking a little bit about what it was like to be in the London production of the show. Obviously, I've mentioned a number of times tonight, and it goes without saying really how popular the show is, and all around the world, the number of fans and the loyal fans that it has. Why do you think that is? What is it about it?
Les Miserables is a little bit like Marmite. You either love it or you hate it.
Yeah.
And there have been so many, over the course of the years that I've done it, we'd see the same people. You could walk out and they would come three and four times a week, these guys.
Yeah.
Because they were just absolutely, the music is the biggest thing, I think. The story can sometimes, you have to see Les Miserables three or four times to get the whole thing really in your head, so to speak.
Sure,
but
yeah.
It's the music that really pulls it along. I mean, some of the orchestral stuff they got there is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and the performances. I mean, it's interesting because I must have seen it four or five times myself. And in fact, we were talking earlier and worked out that I definitely would have seen you, I think, in one of those early
periods. Well, you're one of the lucky ones.
When you're in the show. but you know, as somebody who does like the show, whenever you hear a cast change, immediately there's an incentive to go and see it again to see, you know, how new performers fare with those huge roles and what they do with it. Your history and your involvement with the show obviously goes back a long way. And and you were saying that you were actually involved in the 10th anniversary concert. How was that, to be part of that?
That was great. I mean, that was a really... It's probably one of the highlights of my career. There's two kind of highlights. One was the 10-year anniversary, and one was when we did a show called, not to change the subject, Hey, Mr. Producer, because I was given the honour of starting one of the songs. And when you're sitting there and they give you the microphone, you think, OK, I've got to start the song. It's in front of the Queen. Right, there's Julie Andrews, there's Andrew Lloyd Webber, there's Michael Ball, and the other one was doing walking out with all those Valjeans from all over the world. Just and I had the honour because obviously I was playing Valjean at the time.
Sure,
Colm started it, and then we sang together. Then he walked back and let me finish my little bit.
Yeah, I mean I remember that as well. At the end of the 10th anniversary concert, it's an incredible piece of music that when they all actually sing that together, and you get the sort of the overlapping and the harmonies and everything else.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Superb. Let's touch on something now that happened. I think it was after your second stint, or certainly at some point in the middle, if you like, of your time with Les Mis.
Yeah.
You were involved in a very serious accident, weren't you?
I was, yeah. I was coming home from a show, actually. I remember it quite vividly, Saturday night. And I just finished Les Miserables, and I had this brand-new spanking Harley Davidson that I was so proud of, 800 miles on the clock.
Nice.
And this nice cab driver decided he was going to come out the side turning and dispense with me.
Wow.
So that was a hell of a time. You know, I don't want to put people off their dinners, but the only thing that was keeping my foot on was the Achilles tendon, and I felt, well, I can't see my foot, and I can see my boot the other side of the road.
Oh,
so
my God.
I think my foot's probably going to be in my boot.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, and the hospital did a fantastic job. 13 operations, 2 months in hospital, 2 years recoup. But it's still there and it's still working. I mean, as the years go by, it still aches a little bit more every day, but it works. So,
I think the most incredible thing is having heard that story and the 2 years that it took to fully rehabilitate, or as close as you can.
Yeah.
You then went back into the show again.
I did, yeah.
And played Valjean again. For, I think it was on tour at that time. It
was on tour, which was a strange feeling because when you've had an accident of that multitude. When you've learned how to walk again, then you've got to learn to get on a revolve again.
Sure,
that's the hard. That's hard. The walking was easy.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The walking
was
a piece of cake. It's just getting on the revolve, and you know, it took a little bit of time, but you know, it's a little uneasy on the old legs, and you know, I didn't look so good when I ran around sometimes with a little bit of a hobble, but I got through it.
Yeah,
put it that way.
And I'm sure nobody noticed. Well, what an achievement! I mean, that is fantastic. Let's just take a quick break now and hear some more of you singing. This is, I believe, a recording that you made of Empty Chairs and Empty Tables.
It is, and there's a story, not a story behind it, because sometimes when I do a thing called an audience with, when people come and see me and I talk about my career, what
sure.
I've done, and we call it when people come out to the restaurant, they have food envy,
right.
You're with your partner, your dinner turns up, and then your partner's dinner turns up, and you go, oh, God, I wish I'd have ordered that one.
Yeah, been there.
Yeah, and we have song envy because although Bring Him Home, Who Am I, great songs to sing, I've always wanted to do Empty Chairs, and now I'm not in the show. I can do it as many times as I want and record it.
And in the show, this is, as you say, a piece that's performed by Marius, the young student.
Yeah.
So this is Phil singing Empty Chairs.
There's a grief that can't be spoken. There's a pain goes on and on. Empty chairs at empty tables, where my friends are dead and gone. Here they talked of revolution. Here it was they lit the flame. Here they sang about tomorrow, and tomorrow never came. From the table in the corner, I can see a world reborn. And they rose with voices singing, and I can't. Oh, my friends, forgive me that I leave and you are gone. There's a grief that can't be spoken. There's a pain goes on and on. Phantom faces at the window. Phantom shadows on the floor. Empty chairs at empty tables, where my friends will meet no more. Oh, my friends, don't ask me what your sacrifice was for. Empty chairs at empty tables, where my friends sing no more.
Phil Cavill performing Empty Chairs at Empty Tables from, of course, Les Miserables. Fantastic rendition there. Phil, thank you so much for coming in and joining us today.
Pleasure.
As we've said a number of times, the movie is released across the country this Friday. Are you planning to go and see it? What are you?
I'm booked in for Saturday.
Are you? Great. That'd be quite a weird experience.
I have my reservations. But no, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's going to be totally different, but I think it's going to be one hell of a spectacle, I would have thought.
Sure. And we're going to focus a little bit on the movie, actually, in the last 10 minutes or so of the show. But as I said, massive thank you for coming in.
Pleasure.
We're going to finish this particular section now by hearing one more piece from you. And this is a duet with Jenna Boyd.
This is.
This is one of the most beautiful songs in the show, actually, one of my favourites. This is Little Fall of Rain.
Monsieur Marius, I don't feel any pain. A little fall of rain can hardly hurt me now. You're here, that's all I need to know. And you will keep me safe, and you will keep me close. And rain will make the flowers
but you will live, Punin, dear God above. If I could heal your wounds with words of love.
Just hold me now and let it be. Shelter me, comfort me.
You will live 100 years if I could show you how. I won't desert you now.
The rain can't hurt me now. This rain will wash away what's past. And you will keep me safe. And you will keep me close. I'll sleep in your embrace at last. The rain that brings you here is heaven blessed. The sky begins to clear and I'm at rest. A breath away from where you are. I've come home. I don't feel any pain. A little fall of rain can hardly hurt you now. I'm here. That's all I need to know. And you
I will stay with you till you are asleep.
Phil Cavill and Jenna Boyd performing A Little Fall of Rain from Les Miserables. Okay, well, as we have said a couple of times this evening, the film, the big screen version of Les Mis, is almost upon us and will be in cinemas across the country from this coming Friday.
Let me stay here for tonight. I know who you are. You're Jean Valjean.
Jean Valjean!
Right, my girl. On your way.
I had a dream. My life would be. Help me, please. I have a child. So different from this hell I'm living. So different now from what it seems.
Where is your child?
The life has killed the dream.
One day more.
Is it?
Another day, another destiny.
Hamza.
It's never-ending road to Calvary.
Where's the child, Cosette?
Tomorrow you'll be worlds away.
Who was that girl?
Cosette.
And yet with you my world has started.
But he never saw me there.
One day more to revolution. Being in the pit in the bud. We'll be ready for these schoolboys. They'll okay. Eat themselves with blood.
One nation of the people begins to fight.
To the barricades!
Do you hear the people sing?
The film is produced by Cameron McIntosh and Working Title Films, directed by Tom Hooper, and features a stellar cast of stars including Hugh Jackman as Valjean, Russell Crowe as Javert, and Anne Hathaway as Fantine. It's also nice to see that there's a brief cameo appearance by original Jean Valjean, Colm Wilkinson, early in the movie. Now, very intentionally, I'm not going to play any of the complete numbers from the movie soundtrack, as I don't want to spoil the impact for anybody planning to see the film on the big screen. But you're probably already aware that all of the vocals were recorded live on set, a huge risk which appears to have paid off.
B camera.
Set and action!
It's going to be different, for sure. This is the first time anyone's ever tried it like this.
Every single person is singing every take live.
This has not been done with this kind of consistency in a musical before.
The idea of singing live is daunting, but what it gives you is this freedom.
We have found an amazing group of actors who are completely at home acting through music. And the only way you can make that work is by capturing it in the moment.
Normally, if you were making an old-school movie musical, as a group of actors, we'd go into a studio, we'd record an album, and then 2 months later, we'd arrive on set, and they would play the playback, and we would mime alongside it. The problem with that is that you have to make all your acting choices 3 months before you've even met the actor you're working with. By recording it live, Tom is allowing us the spontaneity of normal film acting.
You can tell in your bones there's something false or unreal about people singing to playback. What will be exciting for the audience is that singing live has such a profound effect on the power and the realism of this story.
I do the soliloquy and it starts with, "What have I done, sweet Jesus, what have I done? Become a thief in the night, become a dog on the run. Have I fallen so far and is the hour so late that nothing remains but the cry of my hate?" Okay, so that's if you were singing it literally, it'd be like that. I can go out there and some takes I'd be like, "What have I done? Sweet Jesus, what have I done? Become a thief in the night. Become a dog on the run. Have I fallen so far and is the hour so late that nothing remains but the cry of my hate?" I can take a little break. I can move on. I can speed it up. I can slow it down, which means I just have to worry about acting it. I missed it 20 long years ago.
The actors have hidden earpieces. And we have a pianist who is playing live into the actors' earpieces, and the actors are setting the tempo rather than a pre-recorded music track.
There's a way for us. I love you. But when the night is over.
Ultimately, the piano will be replaced by a 70-piece orchestra.
I love him.
Everything has to be completely natural. So a lot of us are stripping it right back so that you can just live it a lot more.
There are so many questions and answers that somehow seem wrong.
It's so much more powerful. You have complete freedom, complete control. When you're doing a love scene as an actor, you just wish there was music to kind of help you get there. But now you hear the piano in your ears. Now you are of the music. And it almost can make you cry.
Cosette.
This is a change.
What comes with this way of working is you get the fragility of a voice which matches with the emotions of what a character's saying.
When hope was high and life worth living.
When I saw the trailer and Anne singing with this extraordinary fragility, that song, which I thought I knew pretty well, suddenly I listened to the lyrics for the first time afresh.
I dreamed that God would be forgiving.
There seemed to be something selfish about trying to go for the pretty version.
But the tiger.
She's devastated. She's literally at the bottom of a hole looking up and realizing she's never going to climb out of this. So I just decided to apply the truth to the melody and then see what would happen.
I had a dream my life would be.
For something like Les Miserables, it has to feel real. It has to feel immediate.
So different from this hell I'm living.
Singing live, there's an emotional level to this that just cannot be created in the studio.
I thought there was an amazing opportunity to do something genuinely groundbreaking.
I dream.
And one of the things that I'm looking forward to most about the movie is the brand new song that's been written especially for the big screen. Here's director Tom Hooper.
When I read the novel of Les Misérables, I felt the one thing missing from the musical was the acknowledgement of how central falling in love with little Cosette was to Jean Valjean and what it's like to become a father in an unexpected way.
Suddenly, you're here. Suddenly, it starts.
There is a chapter in the book that I think only a camera can catch.
Cosette is taken away from the Thénardiers, and there is a broken child who's never known love, and there is Jean Valjean who's never known love.
And he realized that he started to feel something for this little girl.
Suddenly, the world seems...
It's a feeling he never had before.
Somehow full of grace, full of light.
And suddenly what Tom was suggesting made serious sense.
On stage, it's very difficult to catch the intimacy of this moment.
So this was a unique opportunity for us to add one or two wonderful cinematic moments.
There's never been a new song until now. I don't think it does destroy or interfere with the fabric. It comes because it comes directly from the novel.
We knew it had to be very simple. One day Herbie came up with this wonderfully simple title, Suddenly.
It's a love song. It's a song of protective love. It's a paternal love.
And from there, the song was born.
I'm so afraid of failing you.
The first day that Hugh Jackman did the song, it was a beautiful day. Beautiful day.
There are shadows everywhere and memories I cannot share.
Probably most famous people in the theatre world have created a song for me, and this is the first time I'm singing back to them. I felt unbelievably blessed in that moment.
And everyone went, my God, it seems like it's been composed at the same time than the other songs were composed for this musical.
That's it. We are out of time. I will see you next week at 6 o'clock.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.
From the Sky News Centre at 7, a British businessman who admitted trying to sell weapons parts to Iran has been sentenced in Texas to 33 months in prison.